Well, good morning, Keystone. Good to see you. Man, we are prayed up, ready to get into God's word as we continue on this journey in this unfinished vision. So welcome to you and great to have you here. Man, with the last couple of weeks with all of the snow and ice that's hit us, among the people I feel the sorriest for are those who like to exercise outside and they don't have the gym membership, right? You've seen these people? Like their strides are smaller. Some of you, I know, you're hoping they fall so you can see it. You run arm in arm. But man, if you exercise outside, this certainly affects your mojo. And I know some of you are in that boat, and probably if we went out in the parking lot today and looked at the cars, some of you have on the back of your car that little oval bumper sticker that says 26.2, right? Or 13.1. Aren't you awesome? Right? That's how some of us feel. Like, isn't that for some of us, isn't that like a rebuke to us, right? Like, you just want to go up to that car and just peel that thing off, or it's shaming those of us who don't run. But I'm sure that many of you do. And I noticed that online you can buy bumper stickers that mock those bumper stickers only on the internet, right? And here's some of them. There's one like that that says 26.2 number of Oreos I can eat in one sitting. 13.1, my longest Netflix binge. 27.9, I got lost. So, yeah, longer ago than I realized, but back in the 80s, there was a movie called Chariots of Fire, a movie of some acclaim. Some of us remember that movie. And it was really a story about an Olympic athlete named, a Christian man named Eric Liddell. And it was his story. And he was a runner. And one of the famous lines from that movie, if you remember, was this. He wrote, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." Some of us are like, when I run, I feel God's displeasure, right? That's where some of us are. But it's a thing, running. And man, is there an easier way to think about life than life as a race? I mean, whether you run or not, thinking about life as a race, it's so easy to think about it that way. Welcome to life. It's a race. The race is on. In my mind, that's an illustration, that's a metaphor that a lot of us can relate to. And you're like, man, I'm running, and for you, running is getting away. You're running from something. I'm trying to get away. And I grew up in a pastor's home. We lived in a parsonage. For those who don't know, that means the church provided our house for us. And we lived in that house, and it was right next to a farm with pasture land. Our yard butted right up against Mr. Schaefer's farm. I remember Mr. Schaefer. And among the livestock he had in that pasture next to our house was a bull. And one of the games, quote unquote, my brother and I used to play was get the bull angry while you're on his side of the fence and see if you can get over the fence in time. And obviously I'm here because the bull never got us, but that was a game we would play, you know, irritate the bull, run from the bull. And you're like, that's my life. I'm running from something. And maybe it's not that funny. Maybe you're like, man, a lot of my life has been running from things. Race is on, yeah. I'm running a race to get away, to get ahead. Some of us here today are running to get ahead. The rat race, I looked that up. Did you know the origin of the expression is from laboratory experiments where two rats are trying to outrun each other in order to get a piece of cheese? And some of you are like, sounds like my life. The rat race describes a way of life in modern society in which people compete with each other for power and money. A rat race, one article said this, a rat race is an endless, self-defeating, or pointless pursuit. Some of you feel that today. Like, maybe it's not running to get away, it's running to get ahead. And you say, man, I'm on the treadmill. I'm on the little hamster thing, running to get ahead, but it feels pointless. The race is on, and maybe for you, thinking about that illustration this morning, you feel like, you know, in some ways, I feel like I'm running to get away or I'm running to get ahead. Friends, at Keystone, in this season of the unfinished vision, it's much better than that. We are running to get a vision. to know and follow Jesus. And specifically in this season of the unfinished vision, we believe God wants us to take our relationship with him to the next level of surrender, of faith and generosity. You've heard those terms, right? That's been shared repeatedly. The race is on, and our desire is to run in this vision of knowing and following Jesus, and specifically in this season of unfinished, to say, God, take me to another level of faith, of surrender, of generosity. So the race is on. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. That's where we're going to be talking about running with expectation, running expectantly. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the race is on. Paul, that's our guy today. Okay, Paul, maybe you're like, who's Paul? If maybe you're not familiar with the array around the Bible, and that's great, we're glad you're here, but Paul is this guy who wrote so much of what is the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. And you'll find his name a lot. And so he writes these letters, and we read them today and learn from them under the inspiration of God. And so Paul loved to use the illustration of a race for the Christian life. He loved to leverage that illustration that the Christian life is like a race, because there was racing then, different, but racing then like there is now. There was competition in his day. And we want to consider together from 1 Corinthians 9 several realities of running the race of life expectantly. All right? If you want to jot some notes down, that's where we're going. Together, we want to consider some realities of this idea of running the race of life expectantly. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Hopefully you're there. I want to read these verses. Don't you know, Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. The word of God. The race is on, Paul tells us. And there are several realities that come with running that race. Some things for us from this text. Number one is this: remember you're running. And if you saw that written, it would be remember in italics and bold print. Remember you're running. Fact of the matter is, friends, maybe you're here today and short of feeling like you're running to get away or running to get ahead, you're like, I don't even think that I'm running. Like, I forget that I'm running sometimes, that life is a race, that the race is on. And one of the things that Paul says to us right out of the gate in this text is that remember this. Remember you're in a race. Look at the language, if you will, in verse 24. It says, don't you know, that's in our CSB translation. Don't you know, see that? One translation says the negative. Do you not know? Don't you know, do you not know? One translation says, don't you realize? It's a bit of a wake-up call. Paul tells us, don't forget, remember that you're running. And friend, maybe that's the word you need to hear today. Maybe that's the word we need to hear together, is that the race is on and remember you're running. I see this language other places in scripture. I was thinking about it this week. Notice this. This is Isaiah back in the Old Testament. Isaiah 40, 28. Notice Isaiah's language here to get attention. Do you not know? Isaiah says, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes weary. There is no limit to his understanding. Isaiah tries to wake us up with that language. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Hello? Right? How about what we've done with the word hello? I mean, when I was a kid, you just said hello. But now it's like, hello? Maybe this is just a guy thing, but my wife is so gracious. Jillian is so gracious. Do you know how many times she could say that to me? Like I go to the store and I text her like, what am I here for? Hello, right? And when it's really bad, duh, like when you put those together, hello, duh, right? Everyone knows what that means. Like, wake up. Your roommate, you know, you're like, for the upteenth time, they have not picked up that thing. Hello. I don't think that language is quite that strong, but in some ways it's helpful, because Paul is saying to us, don't you know? Hello? We're in a race. The race is on. Remember, you're running. Remember, you're running. The race is on. I wonder, here's a question for us, friends. What do you need to do to remember that you're running? Think about that. In your life today, what needs to happen in your life today to remember that you're running a race to the glory of God, that you are to run expectantly? I mentioned that Paul loves to use this illustration of running. Let me give you a couple things. He says, for some of us today, we need to forget some things. For you to remember that you're running means logically there's some things you need to forget. This is what Paul said in Philippians 3:13, using the same illustration of running. He said, forgetting what is behind. Man, by the grace of God, there are some of us in here today, there are some things in your life you need to forget. There's some failure in your past. And you know what? You, in some ways, you're not running the race because of that past failure. Or there's sin that is pulling you back and it's holding you down. Man, listen, you need to forget that. It's something you need to move past. And as it were today, the Spirit of God is saying to you, you're running a race. Don't forget. Remember that. There's some things you need to forget. Paul likes to say that, forgetting what is behind. Maybe you're here because Paul says this too in another text where he talks about running the race. There's some things you need to forsake. Not just forget, there's some things you need to forsake. This is Acts 20:24. Paul says this, I consider my life of no value to myself. There's a bumper sticker for you. I consider my life of no value to myself. Friends, that is not a desperate statement in the sense of giving up. What he's saying is, listen, short of doing this for Christ, I forsake everything. That was his desire. That was his attitude. Understanding that, man, his heart was an idol factory. Our hearts create things. We crave things. We coddle, we build things that distract us from the race we should be running. And maybe for some of us, it's not forgetting as much as it is just forsaking. Like, man, I need to run from that relationship. That thing I'm building, I've spent my life on that, and it's all about when I'll retire and what's the next promotion. And God is saying, forsake that. And by the power of the word of God, the Apostle Paul says, I'll tell you what, in this race I'm running, I'm forgetting what's behind. I don't count my life as anything short of Christ. What is it maybe you need to forsake? There's other language he uses about what it takes to remember that we're running is what's in your future. So what's to forget? What's to forsake? What's in your future? This is 2 Timothy 2:8. Again, 2 Timothy 2:8, a passage where he talks about running. He says this, there's reserved for me a crown of righteousness. Paul's eyes were on the prize of eternity. And maybe you're here today and your eyes are very short-sighted. And your vision in the race of life is on anything but the true future of eternity. And perhaps today, when God says, hello, remember you're running a race. Maybe he's saying to you, lift your eyes and put them on eternity. So back to that question, Keystone brothers and sisters, as we think about it together, what is it? What is it that needs to happen in your life for God to wake you up, to wake me up to the reality that I'm running a race? Remember, you're running. What do you need to forget? What do you need to forsake? Are your eyes on the future of eternity? Jen Pollock Michael writes this. She writes, grace provides all that we need in terms of the tools for growing a deep life in Christ, but it will not spare us the effort of picking them up. So maybe today God is saying, pick up the tools. Or to stay with our metaphor, he's saying, put on your running clothes. I wonder, what is that? What do you need to do? What reminds you that the race is on? What will get you back into that race and help you think seriously about the next level of surrender, of faith, of generosity? The race is on. Paul says, remember you're running. Do you not know? Second thing in the text is this. Don't run aimlessly. Don't run aimlessly. Several places we can go. Look at 26. That's where the word is. Paul writes this. He's going to talk boxing here too for those who hate running. 26, so I do not run like one who runs, is our word, aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Remember, you're running. The race is on. Don't run aimlessly. Don't run aimlessly. This language is all throughout the text. Did you notice in 24, he talked about winning the prize? In running a race, there's a prize to be won. Is your eye on that prize? Later in the text, in 25, he talks about exercising self-control. We already talked about, he says, I don't run aimlessly. In the illustration with boxing, he says, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not just beating the air. Later in 27, he says, I discipline my body. I bring it under strict control. Friend, don't run aimlessly. The race is on. Don't run aimlessly. One translation says, not without aim. Run with purpose in every step. Don't run aimlessly. It's an interesting word, aimlessly, there. Did you know it's used only here in the scriptures? In the original language of the Bible, that word aimlessly, it's only used here. And it means don't run uncertainly, indistinctly, not aimlessly, or as one who has no fixed goal. You ever been lost running? There's nothing worse. Like, where am I? That's not a thing. There's no fixed goal. Paul is saying he's running with a fixed goal. He's running and boxing with purpose. He runs with a view of the finish line and the precious prize that awaits all who cross the goal. Don't run aimlessly. And if athletes, how much more Christians? One writer says, points that out, that Paul uses the illustration of athletes. And if an athlete, how much more us? I mean, in those days, that runner won like a piece of celery or something, right? I mean, it's a vegetable. So Paul says, how much more us? This writer says, those of us who are Christians who have our stake in the eternal victor's crown, we should be willing to give up rights and lifestyles and habits of self-indulgence. Do you hear that? Isn't that convicting? Don't run aimlessly. If an athlete physically can discipline themselves to run a certain way, how much more those of us who are children of God? In this season of unfinished, and in any season, the willingness to give up rights and lifestyles and habits of self-indulgence. The race is on. Keystone brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, let's not run aimlessly. This quote, pastor, author John Piper, it's been on my mind this week. He writes, make some choices that don't make sense unless you will be raised from the dead. Isn't that good? Make some choices that don't make sense unless you will be raised from the dead. Why would you do that? Because I'm going to be raised from the dead someday. Don't run aimlessly. Some questions. Am I living in the reality of eternal consequences? If you don't want to run aimlessly, if I don't want to run aimlessly, there's a question to ask myself. Am I living in the reality of eternal consequences? How am I treating people? Did you know in the context here, that's really what Paul was talking about. He's talking here about freedoms with others. So the one who wants to not run aimlessly is asking herself, how am I treating people? And then especially in this season, it strikes me, what am I doing with my stuff? What am I doing with my stuff? In this unfinished season, we're asking that question about resources, about generosity. And to run aimlessly, ask the question of, how are my things distracting me? Have I fixed my eye on the goal? Man, the race is on. Don't forget we're running. And by the grace of God, don't run aimlessly. Don't run with uncertainty. Matthew 6:20 says, this is Jesus, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break through and steal. That's someone who makes choices based on the fact that they will be raised from the dead. Yesterday afternoon, some of you were here, a servant at Keystone passed away, Phil Soash, who has served with us in sound audio tech. Yesterday, Pastor Todd officiated his funeral. And it struck me as folks gathered and as we came into that funeral that the fact of the matter is the choices in Phil's life demonstrated that he believed he would be raised from the dead. And listen, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, if we have life in Christ, that should be the mark of our existence. And so as that casket was here, the conversation was about choices he made in life that matter in the next life. That in many ways, Phil today is more alive than we are because he did not run aimlessly. And life in Christ means that the race is on. Remember you're running and don't run aimlessly. Last thing is this, you influence others. You influence others. The race is on. Remember you're running. Don't run aimlessly. You influence others. Look at the end of the context with me. Go back to the text, 27. Paul writes, instead, in other words, in contrast to running aimlessly, instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. I influence others. He says, so that after preaching to others, I will not be disqualified. Disqualified, like one translation says, a castaway. That was Tom Hanks on a deserted island. I don't want to be that guy, right? I don't want to be a castaway. In what sense? And some of you saw that word preaching and you're like, oh, that's about you, Fry. You're the preacher. That doesn't apply to me. Slow down, because we all influence others. I do think that's what Paul had in mind in his role as a leader in the church. In some of his writing, when he used that word disqualified, it implied an unsaved state. But here, he doesn't want to be disqualified as a leader. And many times the role of a pastor, the job of leaders in the church is described as what? Leading and feeding. Have you ever heard that? Because of the shepherd metaphor. So we lead and we feed in the church. But you know, if we step away from that a little bit, all of us have that kind of role, that kind of influence. We lead and we feed. I mean, parents, think about your role in the lives of your children. And you're like, feed? Yes, I do feed them. There is not enough food in this world for that kid, right? The fact of the matter is, in addition to providing sustenance as a parent, as those children grow throughout life, you desire that there would be an integrity in your life that they would look at and say, that's how mom does it. That's how dad does it. That's how I should do it. And you don't want to be disqualified from that, right? In that role of feeding and leading and showing them the way. So in many ways, what Paul is saying here of, hey, I influence others at a level that may be different than you, that filters down to all of us who have a relationship with our children, with that person at work, to whom we have responsibility. Paul says, I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want to be a castaway. You influence others. Paul says, I don't want to be disqualified to lead and feed. The race is on. Remember, friends, you're running. Don't run aimlessly. Influence others. Maybe you're here today and you say, I am running. Maybe you're here and you say, I want to run. Maybe you're here and you say, I am running, but I'm tired. Matt, the circumstances of life make it difficult in this run, in this race of the Christian life. Or maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I'm that person. I'm running to get away, or I'm running to get ahead, and the race is the wrong race. But you say, I'm running all right. Well, There's a gospel, there's a good news paradox in running the race of life expectantly. Notice these are the words of Hebrews 12:2. The writer says, let us, again, the metaphor of running, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. Friend, the race is on, and our only hope and power is this, to fix our eyes on Jesus. And let me speak to you directly if you're here today and you don't know Jesus. And you say, man, I'm running to get away. I'm running to get ahead. Or I'm just not running at all. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Word of God says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Maybe Keystone brothers and sisters, as you think about this unfinished season and where God would have you in that issue of surrender and faith and generosity, you say, I'm running, but it's difficult. Listen, the encouragement of Hebrews 12:2 is this, keep your eyes on Jesus. Here's the way I want to say it. We can run the race because Jesus has already won the race. I am not saying that to be clever. I'm saying that because it is everything for those of us who are called to run the race. We can run the race because Jesus, the author and the finisher, has already won the race. If your eyes are not on him, fix your eyes on him. If you're running and your eyes are off of him, keep your eyes on him. Friend, today, the race is on. What do you need to hear? The reminder that you're running? The challenge not to run aimlessly? Or the encouragement that you are influencing others? We can run the race because Jesus already won the race. The race is on. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the power of a simple illustration that may have been manifested differently in an ancient culture, but carries through today. And we understand running, Father in heaven. And some of us here today are running the wrong race with eyes fixed on getting away or getting ahead. And some of us, we know you, but Lord, we have taken our eyes off you. Who for us has won the race through Jesus? May we put our eyes back on you. Lord, I pray that in this season of the unfinished vision, we would be reminded that running this race means that our faith goes to another level, our surrender, our generosity. Lord, search our hearts by the power of your Spirit and by the word of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So Isaiah 40:31 says, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. There's a beautiful story from a family in our church, and it captures the truth of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And I pray as you watch it now that it will challenge you and send you in the hope and the power of Jesus to run expectantly in this season of the unfinished vision. Watch this.